Ephesians chapter 5. Today we begin a new quarter. We've gone through the go, reach, and now we're in our. And kind of tell you what is going to be the focus of this quarter is our responsibilities, our home responsibilities as husbands and wives and fathers and children and church responsibilities as members of the Lord's New Testament church and life responsibilities. And so we're going to be taking a look at our, okay? I've been taking a look at where can I fix me or offer to the Lord to fix me. I found I'm not very good at fixing me, but God can fix me, all right? And so that's going to be the focus for this quarter. And we start in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, we'll begin reading. The title of the message today is Follow the Leader. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, Be therefore imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your word. And now we pray that you would just take it and apply it to our lives, that we may be changed and made better servants for you. These things we ask in the name of Jesus and for your honor and glory. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the first thing I want to call your attention to in our text is the phrase found in verse 1, as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children. Because to understand this text, you're going to have to get a hold of that phrase, as dear children. And that is a vital phrase to the text as we look. You know, it's easy to overlook, but we don't want to overlook it. We want to figure out what really does that mean. Well, literally, those are the same words in the Greek language as God used in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, where He was speaking about Jesus, when He said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now that puts us in a whole different category, okay? That puts a whole new light on the Scripture. And we know God loved His Son, all right? But we never really think of how God really feels about us. How God truly, with a heartfelt love, He cares. And to understand how God looks at us, again, I want to call your attention to children. The word children. Okay? And if you're a parent, you can kind of begin to get a glimpse or begin to get an understanding of how the way that God must feel about you in relation to the way you feel about your own kids. Parents, do you love your kids? Why? I got nothing, right? Oh, because they're your children. And sure, they're good kids, and I'm just going on. But there's a God-given love that you have for your kids, that you want the best for them. You want them just to be the best that they can be, and you want them to have the very best, and you have high expectations. Do you know one thing that makes you very proud is when they become a follower. When they take your direction, when they do what you tell them to do, and when they act like you expect them to act. And that's where we're going to start today as we discover the walk of the child of God. The walk of the child of God. Okay? And we begin with the heart. The heart of a child. We're told in verse 1 to be imitators, examples, followers of God. Have you ever saw a child? And I'm going to use a father-son relationship here, okay? Because that's what I'm closest to, all right? But have you ever saw a son follow his father around? Have you ever seen that son? If dad's wearing blue jeans, that son wants to wear blue jeans. You know? Isn't that cute? Amen? I mean, have you ever seen, if dad's got a hat on, that son wants to have a hat on. And if dad's wearing his hat a certain way, that son wants to wear his hat the certain way. He wants to talk like dad. He wants to eat like dad. He wants to live like dad. He wants to do what dad does in his heart. He wants to be like his father. Just like his father. And when people look at him, they say, boy, I can tell who you belong to. Isn't that the cutest thing when you see a son and you say, boy, well, that's his son. You know, or a daughter and say, well, that's her daughter. I'll be honest, I love to look at y'all from week to week and look at your children and say, yep, I can tell who they belong to. And that's fine. That's wonderful. But that's the idea here in being children of God and imitators of God. We should, the challenge is to desire to be like God. And Jesus told Philip, said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. That's how we're supposed to be. That's what this is talking about. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why could Jesus say that? Well, because everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus said was a simple reflection of who God was. That's supposed to be us. It's supposed to be you and I. With that heart to just, I want to be like my Heavenly Father. I want to have the love of my Heavenly Father. You see, that's the hope of a child. A hope of a child is to love and to be loved. And we're told in verse 2 to walk in love. You ever wonder why children want to be like their parents? You know? And I'm talking before the teenage years, you know, because when they hit the teenage years, they want to be not even around you, let alone like you, you know? I'm talking about the young children, okay? I love you teenagers, but truth's truth, right? God gives that child a love, an admiration, a respect for that parent that he just can't help. His desire is to be loved and accepted. One of the greatest things that a child can hear is, good job, son. I'm proud of you. Daughter. Now, that's what they strive for, to win the approval and the love of their parents, even though they've already got that, right? But they want to make those parents proud. But I want to call your attention here to something. And as dear children of God, we're supposed to walk in love as Christ also loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. And He's not just talking about loving people. Sometimes we think, well, it's our responsibility to love everybody. And it is. But I want to tell you what you've got to get before you can get the loving everybody part. You've got to love God. Okay? You've got to start with that heartfelt desire of loving God. So much so that you're willing to build your life upon the principles and the foundations that He has set forth. Oh, what I see my Father do, that's what I want to do. I have that desire to build my life on the love that He's already shown me. That's the hope that I have as a child of God. And the happiness that I desire as a child of God is based on my surrender and my sacrifice. You see, in verse 2, it says that we're to walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given Himself as an offering, a sacrifice to God. An offering and a sacrifice. Do you realize that the happiness of the child of God requires a complete surrender of self, and selfishness, and self-centeredness? So that it's all about our Father. All about pleasing Him. Have you ever noticed when children are seeking to be like their parents, it does not matter what their parents are doing, they want to do it? I mean, it's great. You can get a 4-year-old to mow the yard. You can get them to do dishes. You can get them to sweep floors. As long as they can be right there by the side of their father or their mother. Yeah? Happiness requires your surrender of will. And that's what young children do. They don't care what that job is that dad's doing or that mom's doing. When I was a young parent. You see, this was before that we were all intelligent about taking care of your children. And we didn't know certain things were bad that you weren't supposed to do, right? I mean, we did things like riding the back of a pickup truck, you know. But anyway, when Adam was, my son was young, I don't know, he was 3 or 4 years old. And I would push mow the yard. And you know, there's the bar that you push on the push mower, and then there's a shorter bar down here. Adam wanted to be with me so much so that, and I'm embarrassed to say this because I know, but it was before we had good sense, okay? But he would be on that bar below, and I'd be on the bar above, and we'd just be walking through the yard. He's doing what I do. We'd make the round, turn around, and come back the other way. And oh, he'd do that as long as I would do it. Just to be with me. It didn't matter what the job was. I could wash the car. All my kids would come out. Oh, Daddy, can I wash the car? Well, sure you can wash the car. You know? Now, when they got to be teenagers, they didn't want to mow and wash the car anymore. But you see my point, how important it was that they just be in my presence. They spend time with me. It didn't matter what I was doing. It didn't matter. They didn't say, I don't want to do that. They just wanted to be with me and to be like me. You see, that's what we're talking about here today. When we're surrendering ourselves, as we're going to be beloved children of God and walk in love, we have to come to that point of, God, it doesn't matter what you want me to do as long as I can be in your presence. Lord, you want me to be a missionary? Lord, I'll go. Lord, you want me to clean the church? Lord, I'll clean the church. Lord, you want me to preach? I'll preach. Lord, you want me to teach a Sunday school class? It doesn't matter, just as long as I can be in your presence. And be approved by you. You see, sometimes we miss here. It says that we're to walk in love as Christ also loved us and give Himself for us. But look who He gave Himself to. An offering and a sacrifice to God. You see, before He could give Himself for us, He had to give Himself to God. You want to be effective. You want to be the child of God. You want to be useful. You want to be that servant that says, "Well," that God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is my beloved child. I'm well pleased." You want to be that guy. You've got to start with a complete surrender and sacrifice of your life at the feet of Jesus. Does that make sense? You see, you belong to Him. And it does not matter. You see, we have the idea of picking and choosing. Well, I hope God doesn't call me to do this. I hope God doesn't lead me to do that. Well, I hope I can just serve the Lord wherever, whatever He wants out of me. Matthew 26 and 39, you remember Jesus? As He prayed, "Father, let this cup, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me." Then what did He say? "Not my will." Say it with me. "Not my will, thine be done." You see, we get it confused. "Not thy will, but mine be done." Right? That's not the prayer. "Not my will, Father, but thine be done." John 5:20, Jesus said, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me." You see, Jesus was all about serving the Father. And sacrificing His life, yes, it was for us and for our benefit and for our salvation. But He first gave Himself an offering to His Father. That's what we're talking about today. And that's where happiness is. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, which is your reasonable service. Father, here's my life. Lead me where? To do what? It doesn't matter. As long as I'm with you." That's happiness. That's happiness. Then let's talk about not only the walk of the child of God, let's talk about the work of a child of God. Okay? You see, and we start with obligation. Do you realize as a child of God, you are indeed obligated? That there is a certain standard that there is expected of you. In the home in which I grew up in, there was a standard. I was expected to behave. I was expected to act a certain way. I was expected not to bring shame upon my father or my mother. Okay? And that's what we're talking about here in your obligation. You are a member. If you are a child of God, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, if you are saved, you are a member of the family of God. And you have an obligation to represent your father and your family well. You have that obligation. Again, I turn to the Jesus' words of John 14:9. Jesus said to him, "I've been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father." Now I want you to think about that. He, just as Jesus' words, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Who does the world see through you? Who does the world see through you? That's why he goes down the list here in verses 3 and 4. And he goes down a list of fornication, which is sex outside of marriage. Okay? I know we're living in promiscuous days and the idea of sex outside of marriage, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. Okay? It is still sin as it has always been sin. Uncleanness is mentioned, which is immorality in any shape, form, or fashion. Pornography would be included in that. Covetousness is mentioned, which is greed. Filthiness, which is indecency, any indecent behavior. Foolish talking is mentioned, which is dirty words. And yes, it does matter what you say. Okay? I've heard people say, "Well, it's just words." Words matter. You're reflecting your father. Foolish talking, coarse jesting, which is vulgar speech. And he's saying, he said, Let it not even be named among you. Really, he's saying, don't even let there be a hint of any of this stuff in your life. Not even a hint. Why? Because you represent the Father. When people look at you, they're going to say, that's who their God is. That's who their Father is. Oh, listen, my friend. We talk about love and relationship with God. But I want to tell you, your actions show the genuineness of your relationship with God. Okay? There are things that do not belong in the life of a child of God. And listen to me, teenager. Listen to me, young person. Because the world is out there broadcasting to you. It does not matter. It's not a big deal. You know, and it is a big deal. It is a big deal. Not only do you represent your parents, you represent your heavenly Father. Don't do anything to bring shame upon His precious name. We are God's children. Remember your obligation. And remember your appreciation. He went down the list and said, these things are not fitting. But you know what is fitting? Thanksgiving. He said, but thanksgiving. Be appreciative. Have an attitude of gratitude. It is your job as a child of God to honor and to praise and give thanks to your wonderful Heavenly Father. You see, without Him, you are nothing. Amen? Without the Heavenly Father, you are nothing. Why? Because, read that first word. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everything you have, every good thing in your life, comes from the Father. Are you blessed? You're blessed because it came from God. One of the saddest things I see today is a child who does not appreciate his parents, okay, and what they provide. I've seen in days past, I've seen fathers and mothers buy their children cars and their children, you know, say things like, well, that's my car. And the parents ask, well, I need to use your car today. Well, that's my car. No, it's your car when you pay for it, buy the insurance for it, and put gas in it out of your pocket. Okay? Otherwise, it came from mom and dad, or dad and mom. Okay? It's a gift. It's a gift given for your benefit. Cell phones. You heard kids say, that's my cell phone. Parents take away the cell phone. You know, kids will do something, so they're gonna ground them and take away their cell phone. The kids back up and say, that's my cell phone. No, it's not. It's your cell phone when you go to the store and pay for that cell phone and then make monthly payments on it, because there are charges every month. And when that comes out of your pocket, then you can say, that's my cell phone. Otherwise, it is a gift given for your blessing by your mom and dad. Now, we can all agree with that, especially if we're adults, you know, that. But how are we as children of God? Let's take that and let's apply that the way it applies here. How are we as children of God? Do we say such things as, it's my life, I'll do what I want to do with it? Yes, we do. You ungrateful child. It's my money, I will give it or I will spend it the way I want to. No, that money came from the blessing of the Father. If I don't want to go to church, I won't go to church. Sunday's a blessing given by the Father. Just go down the list. and think. And you know, we look at our children and we say, "Why, you ungrateful child." Let's look at, are we grateful as a child of God? Do we give Him the glory because everything that we have is from Him? Oh, I want to be a child. I want to be a child that brings glory to my Heavenly Father. Now let's talk about the wisdom of a child. What you know. I want to read verse 5 again. It says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ, or kingdom of Christ and God." This you know. This you can be assured of. This you don't have to doubt. You see, just because somebody claims to be saved doesn't mean it's true. Okay? As a matter of fact, I have found in years of ministry that everybody thinks they're going to heaven. But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. James chapter 2. Well, it left. All right, we'll just breeze without it the rest of the way. James chapter 2 and verse 18 through 20 says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" What's it saying? Without going into a long explanation, a saving faith, a God-saving faith, will reflect itself by the actions in life. Okay? You know, we're living in a day of gay ministers. I'm sorry. I mean, it's direct opposition to the Word of God. We're living in a day of people who are living together outside of marriage and holding hands, going into church like nothing's going on, and there's no conviction, there's no regret, there's no, I'm doing something wrong. What's the problem? The problem is you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Who are you to judge me, Brother Doug? I'm not. But I do know the Scripture says that He chastens whom He loves. And if you're without chastisement, literally the Bible says you're bastards. And that's Bible language. Meaning you have no parent. You have no father. Okay? You see, everybody wants to claim salvation. But you can claim what you want to, but if you live like the devil without conviction, you don't belong to the Heavenly Father. Okay? Now you can correct that. It's called repentance. And the reason I bring all that out is because you need to know. You need to know. Because I've often heard people say, I've often heard people make the statement, "Well, those old church people are just so hypocrites and, you know, all." And the problem is, a lot of those church people you're talking about is not even saved. You may go to church on Sunday, but you can't live like the devil Monday through Saturday. Okay? It's a daily walk. It's a daily walk. Know that just a claim to salvation doesn't make it so. But salvation changes a person. Know and hold. Hold. You see, in verse 6, I want to share with you, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." The world laughs at the concept of the wrath and judgment of God. Very unfortunate, because it doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's coming. Okay? It's coming. The goal of our culture is the acceptance of sin. You know? Let's put our stamp of approval. The reason, the problem that the gays have, and I'm sorry, but you know, it's been on my heart, all right? And if you or anybody who may watch this are a homosexual, I want you to know, first of all, God loves you. Secondly, we love you. Okay? But it does not change the fact that it is an abomination before God, and God will judge that sin. Okay? And that's the idea with the gay rights movement. You see, it's that push you to accept and to condone and to say it's okay that ungodly lifestyle. Well, it's not okay. Okay? And that's why he said, you know, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Judgment's coming. The wrath of God is coming. The world gives out its invitation. Oh, come join us. It's okay. We're all just sinners. No. Do not be fooled. Judgment's coming. There's such a haughty view of the world in reference to the judgment of God. Just like in the days of Noah. It started to rain. I wonder how long it took them to realize they were in trouble. It started to rain. It had never rained before. Never rained before. And I wonder if the first drops fell and thought, what is that? Judgment's coming. Began to pour. Oh, what is this? Judgment's coming. The fountains of the deep broken up. My goodness, everything's getting covered up in water. What's going on? Judgment's coming. Right up to the point where every living creature was drowned. I wonder if it ever dawned on them. Okay, Noah was right. Judgment came. One of these days, my friends, and we're going to have to give account of the life that we live. You remember what it was like, saved people? If you were raised in a home like I was raised in, when I'd done wrong, I dreaded going home. Did you ever do that? Oh, I dreaded going home, facing my dad. My dad's kind of a hard man, but I love him and I appreciate his hardness, okay? He loved me and still loves me. But I remember what it was like knowing I was going home and my father knew I'd been doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, okay? One of these days, Jesus is going to step out on cloud. Trump's going to sound. Voice of God's going to hear, you know, we're going to hear that voice come up hither. And we're going to go see our Savior. And we're all going to, if you're a child of God, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And when you have to give an account for your life, what are you going to say? Are you going to be able to stand and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Well done. This is my beloved child and I'm well pleased. Or are you going to hear, "Why did you rebel? Why did you rebel?" Oh, listen, let us be children of God. Let us be faithful. And if you're here today and you're not saved, this invitation is for you. Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you've got to do is give your life to Christ today. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I'm going to invite you to come. Maybe you're here and you've been that rebellious teen, you know, in your relationship with God. And I know I've mentioned that among our teens. I want our teenagers to know I love you, okay? And you're good kids. But there's just so much of a parallel in a relationship. Listen. My challenge is, respond to the conviction of God's Holy Spirit. Do what He calls you to do. Our Father in heaven, thank You for the day. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the reminder that we are Your children. And Lord, we want to live a life that will bring honor and glory to You. Lord, we want to spend that time with You. We want everything in our life to reflect You in a good way. And Father, I pray now as we come to this invitation that Your will be done. In Jesus' name.